5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am one of your hosts, Barry Ricks. And with me, I have my wonderful Valentine, my personal own, my wife, Crystal Ricks.
And I'm tired.
And tired, she says, why are you so tired?
Oh, yeah, I love you too.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. So,
why am I tired?
Yeah, well, we can get to that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's
get to that.
let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
So tell us about stories, why you're so tired. Why are you so tired?
I feel like this week was an entire blur.
Like that?
Yes, because it all just melted into each other because it was all Valentine stuff.
Okay. Are you going to elaborate
now
on that?
Now we can end the show.
Boom, that's all you need to know.
No, and I'm going to sound like I'm complaining, but it was fun. It was just a lot of fun.
Maybe some might say too much fun.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe some would say too much on your plate fun.
Who are these someones?
Me.
Whatever. You like it.
I do. But I understand that sometimes you need a break. You can't just do all the crazy stuff.
And I will have a break until the next holiday.
It's tomorrow.
Yes, Easter.
Tomorrow's President's Day. What are you doing for President's Day?
Watching TV. Anyway, so I have a tradition that I want our kids to hand make their Valentines.
Okay.
I'm waiting for you to give that judgmental tone of yours.
Is that better?
No.
Oh.
You think it's weird. I think it's special.
I don't think it's weird.
You think it's too much.
I don't think it's too much. I think it's extra work.
And I like it because it's more special. It's a special Valentine that the kids can throw away.
Well, let's talk about the Valentines they did this year.
So, the Jay wanted to make Minions, which we've made before, but they're so cute.
Yeah, they're fun.
Where you take a Twinkie and make it look like a Minion.
Yeah.
And the tag says, I think you're one in a Minion. Yeah. One in a million.
No.
I know. Genius. So we made the Twinkie Minions, and Grayson at first said that he wanted to do Harry Potter Valentines. So we're looking around doing Harry Potter, and then he comes in and says, no, I want to do My Little Pony, because we're into My Little Pony in this
house.
He likes
My Little Pony, yeah.
And then Barry, little turd bucket here.
Hey, okay.
What?
You talk about
judging.
You talk about making it special and making a handcrafted thing, and then I come up with an idea, and then you're like, what?
Because I'm the one making them. I know. I'm getting there. Don't judge me. Anyway, so Grayson said that he wanted to do Harry Potter, and then he wanted to do My Little Pony. And so Barry said, well, why not a My Little Pony Harry Potter? Or Harry Potter My Little Pony. And that's when I was like, Barry! Shush!
But she didn't have my vision.
I didn't.
She didn't understand what I meant.
What's your vision?
So I meant creating your own pony, but it was a Harry Potter pony.
No, I caught the vision, but I didn't catch the execution.
Yeah, but then I executed it, and it was awesome.
Right. You found a generator.
Yeah, it's like a My Little Pony generator that you could pick from, like, tons of different options on how to create your pony, and I created one that looked like Harry Potter, glasses and everything, and I was able to upload a cutie mark of my choice, and I found Harry Potter's wand from the movie, and that was his cutie mark. And then afterwards I took that and just, you know, put it in a photo editing program, and I was able to put some, you know, put the words on it that said "Friendship is Magic" from Grayson in Harry Potter font.
So it's crazy crossover.
And then also I was able to put a lightning scar on the pony. So, boom.
Well, what was funny is they did turn out super awesome. I'll give you credit.
Thanks.
There you go. But what's funny is, so we showed Grayson the pony, and then Barry was like, "Now, you just need to know that not everyone, especially the boys, will think that My Little Pony is cool, so they might laugh at this." And Grayson was like, "I don't care."
Yeah, he was like totally confident. He was just like, "I'm going to do it." I'm like, "Well, that's awesome."
And then I chimed in and I was like, "And no one's going to know what this is." He's like, "I don't care." So we handed him out and it was cool.
And I don't know, I wasn't there, but you were at his party, which we'll talk about. But were there any reactions?
I did hear some kids say they looked cool, but I didn't hear
it. Boom. And we gave pixie sticks with the treat, as it was like a wand pixie stick.
Right. Although I do have to say, one of my friends one-upped us.
Uh-oh.
We went creative, but she handmade a wand for every kid in her kid's class. Oh,
that's true. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
That's hardcore.
That's what I'm going to do next year.
That's right.
With sparkles. Make it big and sparkly. Anyway, so we did that. And then, so we're planning for that. So I was in charge of Grayson's Valentine party. So I'm getting ready for his party, and we're all making Valentines. And the whole time, Lacey, our four-year-old, is like, "Well, I want to go to the party." She is just devastated. So on Wednesday night, I text a bunch of people and say, "Hey, I'm going to throw a party at my house tomorrow for my four-year-old." So then I planned another party.
Bring your four-year-olds.
Yeah, so just so she could exchange Valentines. So then I had to go to the store and make more Valentines with her the morning of this party. And so that was crazy. So we spent really all week making Valentines.
Yeah.
I made Valentines. I realized this year that I love Valentine's Day. And so I made 40 Valentines to hand out.
Awesome.
And so anyway, so class party. I need to look at this. Okay, so the class party was fun, except I had a list full of people who volunteered to help. And I called all of them, and not a single person said that they could come.
Well, but you had people at least donate stuff, like
right,
food
all of them,
and drinks.
Well, all of them said, "Oh, I signed up so I could donate something." And I was like, "But I need you.
I need you to donate your time."
Right. Now, I think usually there's a really good turnout, but I think this one was later than the lunch hour, so you couldn't take your lunch to come to class.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of later in the day. But anyway, so I text the teacher, and I'm like, "Pretty much it's going to be me, just so you know." And so she sent out a text to everyone saying, "Please let Crystal know if you can come help her." And I got one person, who was awesome, by the way, to come help. And so between her and me and my parents, who I roped in to come help, it was just the four of us, but we nailed it.
Good job.
I think it was pretty good.
Good. I'm glad. I'm sure it was pretty awesome.
But it was hectic to plan it all.
But
good hectic. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not really complaining. It was just a lot. So then on top of Grayson's party, this girl that we're friends with posted online saying, "If anyone wants Valentine babysitting, I'm free on Friday." So then I had already agreed to have her babysit our kids.
Yeah.
But then all the stuff starts happening, and I'm like, wait. And I told Barry that I think I have to cancel date night, and you look so sad. There's like this huge pause because we were in bed. I couldn't see you, but I could see your face.
You could feel it.
I could picture it. You're just like silent, and then later you're like, "I'd like to go on a date." And I felt really bad that out of everything, that's what I was going to sacrifice.
You're going to sacrifice me.
And so, amongst everything, I planned date night.
You did. And it was fantastic. Made it fun and enjoyable. It was, she made it my choice date night. But what she did is she...
It's called choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. Sorry.
Get it right.
She'd give me an envelope. And in the envelope, there would be three pictures of just random things. and I had to pick one of the pictures. And then I would open up the card that was in the envelope, and then depending on the picture I chose, it was what activity or like where we were going to eat or what we were going to do. And it was fun. And so she had four of those throughout the night, and I was choosing various different randomly activities, but the night turned into awesomeness. And we did pick up the kids and brought them home and put them to bed and continued our night by playing games and watching shows. So
I was wondering where you're going with that.
We
continued our night.
Oh, well. We do have four children.
No, but what was the best part about this Choose Your Own Adventure is I didn't have to choose anything.
You didn't have to choose. Well, you had to at least come up with options.
Because what inspired me is I said, well, where would you want to go if we went out to dinner? And you listed three places. And the whole time I was like, shoot, I don't know what to pick. And then I saw this date idea and I was like, yes.
Make him pick.
But make it seem like I planned it. So you still ended up planning the date.
That's right.
But it was awesome.
It was. It was fun.
So we made date night. Woot.
Yay.
And then Saturday. So that was Friday. The party and the date night was Friday. And then Saturday was Harry Potter Day.
It was Harry Potter Day. So, like we did last time, so we finished reading the second book of Harry Potter.
What?
Just like we finished, when we finished the first book, we had a Harry Potter day, and then we watched the first movie at the end of the party. And so we did it this time, too. It was a little bit bigger this time, because last time it was also Halloween. And so we had to juggle that around. So we had... We started by having Harry Potter trivia.
Of course.
Of course.
We love trivia.
Of the book. And the kids, you know, had fun with that. And then after that, we did potions. And basically, small little science chemistry projects. But just late.
We made exploding bags.
Yeah.
Dragon slime.
That's right. And burning snakes or something.
Burning basilisks.
And so kids had a lot of fun with that. And then afterwards, we killed basilisks by...
Wait. We made something.
Oh, we made something before that. Yes. We made, or the kids made, their very own owls. Like felt owls. So we had a bunch of felt, and then we hot glued them together and stuffed them full, and then they were, you know, Gryffindor colors, and so every kid was able to make their own little owl, and they loved them.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they actually like them.
Yeah.
Like, even today, they're still playing with them.
Yeah, and...
which I was worried about.
And the girls are sleeping with them because they wanted to... So it's good. It worked out really well. Then...
Lacey's owl is named Hootie Potter.
Hootie Potter. And then we threw swords at a big snake picture that Crystal drew to symbolize us killing the basilisk.
And it was called Stab the Basilisk.
Yeah. And then we did, charms class.
Right.
Where we each had a wand and we went through different spells that we've learned throughout the books and had fun doing that.
It was fun. And I found at the Dollar Tree, they have big, giant, wand-shaped glow sticks. Like thick ones that are like a foot long.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
So.
And beefy.
Yeah, so every kid got a glow stick, and we were going to play, what's it called? Oh, Wingardium Leviosa, where you keep the balloon off the ground by whacking it with your wand, but our two-year-old.
Popped it.
Immediately burst the bubble.
Before we even started playing the game. So, but then we made journals because it was, you know, in the second book of Harry Potter, it was all about Tom Riddle's journal. So we all made our journal, and I took a lot longer than everybody else
because yeah,
I wanted to put some extra,
ridiculous
extra effort into it. And then afterwards we made...
Wait, you're glossing over this. So the journals.
Okay.
I found little mini notebooks at Hobby Lobby, and I bought stickers that were all Harry Potter themed. Now you may continue.
Yeah, so like spiders and owls and other things.
Keys.
Yeah.
Old keys.
And so then we made chocolate Rice Krispie treats that and shaped them into a spider shape and stabbed pretzels in to make legs, and then we had some little candy eyes and put them on, and we let
that. They weren't spider cookies; they were Aragog cookies.
Oh, sorry.
Get a ride.
And then we took a little break while I went and picked up dinner, so which is pizza, of course. And we ate pizza and our Aragog spiders while we watched the second movie.
In our pajamas. Because in the book, they feast at the end in their pajamas.
That's right. And yeah, that was the day.
It was fun.
And it was really good. So we determined that we'll probably read the next book and watch the next movie, because the next movie is still rated PG. But then it gets a little bit more intense in book 4. And the movie's PG-13 at that time, and our kids are still a little young for that, in our opinion. And so we might switch to a different book series after book 3, just for a little while.
Yeah, we're thinking some Stephen King.
That's right. do the Dark Tower series, you know.
It,
make them love clowns.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry Potter Day.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Although, I was planning Harry Potter Day, and Barry and I were talking about it, and while we're chatting about it, Grayson just comes up to me, and he goes, "This better be the best day ever." And both of us are like, "Excuse me?" And he's like, "What? I just wanted it to be fun." Like, I don't think he realized how rude it sounded.
Yeah.
But then I was like, pressure!
It needs to be the best day now!
I know, and so I kept, like, looking online, I'm like, "Ooh, I could do that!" But actually, a lot of it I came up with by myself.
Good job.
I'm going to brag for myself. But anyway, it made it more stressful. Because the whole time I'm like, "Will Grayson like this? Will this be the best day ever?"
And they did. They loved it.
It was fun.
So, yeah. That's all I got.
Okay, so Harry Potter Day. So, now we're at Handmade Valentine's. Lacey's party, Grayson's party, date night, Harry Potter Day. And then today, Sunday, I had to teach at church. So last night after Harry Potter Day, after all the kids go to sleep, I didn't have to, but what I wanted to do for the lesson, I had to draw 7 pictures and then color them all. And so both of us are in bed and you were going to read. I was like, "Please help me color." And so both of us are just laying in bed coloring like little kids. So I shouldn't say little kids because adult coloring is supposedly trendy now.
It's the in thing now.
So we were being trendy.
Totally. We're hipsters.
Coloring fish and birds and stuff.
Yep.
So I taught at church and then I came home. We came home and we had planned a special dinner for some special people at our church. So we cooked a giant feast. It was probably the biggest meal we've ever made.
I think it was like on par, if not a little bit more than like a Thanksgiving feast that
fancy.
We've made.
I've never made anything like this.
It was pretty intense.
So I'm so tired. And now we're recording. It's like, it just never stops.
That's right. But we love recording for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, like I said, it was just too much. Too much goodness crammed into one weekend.
And I got the best Valentine gift ever from my beautiful, wonderful wife.
Smack in the face.
She gave me a date package where there's a date, one day each month that you do. And so they're all in envelopes. I couldn't think of the word.
Envelope.
Yeah, and then so each month we pick a day and open it up, and I have no idea what it is, but you know, Crystal does, and then we will have that date. So, like, good home date ideas.
Yeah, they're all home dates because we can't go out all that much.
Yeah.
Dates are expensive.
We're not made of money.
This day we went on last night was like $50.
I know.
Or Friday night.
Because dinner and then a babysitter.
Right.
So.
Right. So.
All right. Anything else from you?
Oh, I just had holy candy sauce.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of candy.
This is like the biggest candy year I've ever seen. Because not candy year, but candy holiday. It's Valentine's Day. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Yeah, day of love.
But, so the kids got an insane amount of candy in their class. Like, our daughter, well, not that this is candy, but some, their class is insane. Someone bought every kid in their class a stuffed animal, and then every kid got a balloon, and I was like, that's like $20 right there.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, so they got a ton of candy in their Valentine bags that they brought home, and then their grandparents gave them a ton of candy.
Yeah.
And then we gave them candy today.
A ton of it.
And then at church, it was like every person there was throwing candy at the children, so we came home with like a bag full of candy. And so after church, you and I are trying to cook dinner, and our kids just keep coming in saying, can I have a piece of candy? And we're busy, so we're like, yeah. And we finally cut it off, like, seriously, you guys are going to die. And so the kids are playing, and it feels like every 5 minutes, we're like, where's Jackson? And one of us would go looking, and they're like, he's got candy!
He was hoarding all the candy and eating it all.
Well, and it felt like he knew he was going to get caught, so he would, like, unwrap everything really, really fast and just start shoving it in his mouth because he knew.
We would lay the smack down.
Yeah, so it made me think, like, because our kids seemed super hyper tonight.
Yeah, they did.
Like, crazy hyper. Although, I'm sure it's because they were tired from staying up late last night. Our kids are the kind that get hyper when they're tired. But anyway, it made me think of this topic that we are about to share.
That many parents have talked about throughout the ages of the sugar high.
Right.
And sugar rushes.
The sugar rush.
And so, and I kind of knew this already, what we're going to talk about in this article. And I've brought it up to people before, and they've been pretty standoffish and like, that's not true. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, yes, I do. So we found this article just to share with you, basically debunking the whole sugar high myth.
Right. And I always, when I'm around people that say, man, my kids are going to get on a sugar high, I have to like bite my tongue because I don't want to be one of those people that's like, no, there's no such thing. You know, like,
I know more than you.
But I just am like, should I correct them? Because it's not a thing.
I think it depends on the situation. Like if they're like saying something about your kid, be like, oh, I don't think you should give your kid that, you know, they're going to get really crazy. You know, then I'd be like, no, because that's a myth, you know. So
you are wrong.
Do your research.
Bam!
Before you come to me. So, all right. So, the evidence of the sugar rush. So sugar is a food additive. Has never seemed more evil than it has now. We are addicted to the stuff, as it has fully replaced fat as the widely accepted culprit behind obesity.
Which is what we, in that documentary we've talked about on here before.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called now. Something about fat people.
Fat.
Just kidding.
I don't know.
That was tasteless.
How dare you?
What is it called? Anyway, so in this documentary it did talk about how sugar is really what makes people overweight.
Yeah.
Or obese.
Nowadays, yeah.
So it is like the evil food, or if you call it a food. But anyway, it started with Benjamin Feingold.
In the 1970s.
He was an American allergist who suggested that people remove food additives to treat hyperactivity in their children.
Like basically saying, it's because of sugar kids are hyper. But then in 1995 and over 23 other reliable studies later, with children that they used with sugar and placebos and their parents and working with all those things. Basically, after all those studies and all those years and all those children, sugar simply had no discernible effect on the children's behavior in these studies. Not a single one.
Right.
So, that's science, people.
After 23 different studies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's crazy. Tricks of the mind.
So, this was interesting. Back in 1994, they did a study about sugar, and so they had, it was all on boys, right? It was just boys.
Yeah, 35
okay.
boys.
So they had boys between the age of 5 and 7.
Because we're more hyper.
Who's, whose mothers said that their kids were affected by sugar. So they had them come in, and they
told one group of mothers, your children have been given sugar. And we told the other group of mothers, your children have been given a placebo of sugar.
And so they said, I'm getting there.
All right.
So the moms whose children were given the sugar, they all of them, right? Every single one of them.
So not that this people doing the study said that they gave their children sugar but every single boy had been given a placebo.
Right. But
no sugar.
The moms who were told that their kids had sugar recorded that their kids were more hyper than usual. And then they also said that these moms exercised more control by maintaining physical closeness, as well as showing trends to criticize, look at, and talk to their sons more.
Yeah. So helicopter parents.
So I just thought it was interesting that it's just one of those things where that they... Because they assumed something, they saw it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder, are those mothers naturally just more criticizing than others? And that's why they're just like, the sugar is an excuse to criticize their children?
Well, it kind of reminds me of, have you ever been in a group of people where there's like one parent that constantly apologizes for their kid's behavior, but their kid is not...
Being bad at all.
Yeah, they're like being the exact same as every other kid there.
Exactly.
And you're like, your kid's fine.
Your kid's acting just like everyone else.
I kind of feel like that's what it is. Maybe that's the kind of parent that'd be like, I'm sorry, it's a sugar rush.
My child is crazy, I'm sorry.
I feel like some parents are surprised when they learn that kids are hyper.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, we were there once, right?
I mean, sometimes I do feel like, whoa, you're crazy with our kids, but they're kids.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, like, kids have, adults always say it, but kids, like, have this endless amount of energy.
Right.
And, like, and we're young. We are young people, but I still get tired, like, and I'm just, like, worn out. I'm like, how are you guys still going? It's insane.
Right.
And so it's kind of just like, well, I might as well blame it on the sugar because I'm tired and I'm lazy. Well, okay, you're not necessarily lazy, but sometimes you just get tired and you want to relax, but your kids still want to go, go, go. And you're like, oh man, my kids are crazy because of the sugar. So, I don't know.
Maybe what it is that we just want to have something
to blame. Yeah.
Or maybe even to, like, understand why our kids are acting this way.
Or something to blame about our bad parenting. I'm a bad parent. It's the sugar. The sugar's the blame.
Blame Hershey's.
That's right. All right, well...
sue the company.
But also part of that sugar high come... Oh, wait. No, I'm skipping ahead.
You're in the wrong spot.
I'm in the wrong spot. All right, so the mid-afternoon sugar hit... So, the article talks about how a friend just refused to believe that sugar didn't do anything. And then they talked about how, well, adults, don't we need, you know, when we're tired in the afternoon, don't we need that extra boost of sugar to keep us going? And then the doctor's just like, no, no, we don't, because it showed, you know, throughout several studies, like, the sugar that goes to our brain, even with a heavy dose of consumption of sugar, specifically sugar, doesn't change the sugar amounts in our brain. That's what our whole glucose levels, and that's what it's there to manage, is to manage the amount of sugar in our brain and throughout our body and stuff like that. So they're just saying, so when you stop, you know, at a point in your day when you're tired and you consume something, he's like, it's not necessarily that because you're consuming sugar, is that you're consuming food and getting kind of more of a psychological boost than, you know, than just going to the grinding stone of working constantly and getting tired. And so it's like, so basically the doctor's saying it's good to take a break every once in a while, because then it allows your brain to relax. And then you actually feel more energized afterwards.
I wonder if it's not like the sugar boost, but it's kind of like the enjoyment of eating it. It's what wakes you up.
Yeah.
Because you know when you bite into something awesome and you're like, oh.
Well, and it just, and also this part of it just makes me think of like people, like countries that have like siestas after lunch.
Oh,
like, you know, they don't go back to work. They either take a nap or relax. Or I've known of companies that people have worked at where they have a napping room. Like, if you feel you need to go take a nap, go take a nap. Like, a power nap of, like, 15...
That's so millennial.
Like, 15, 30 minutes, and then get back to work as long as you're productive. And it's just, like, there's studies showing that having a rest in the middle of the day like that is more productive for you throughout the day.
Than sugar? Than eating sugar?
Yeah.
That's debatable. I think it's more like me, by middle of the day, I'm tired, which makes me feel stressed out as being a mom. And I think it's more of a stress trigger for me. So maybe it's just a trigger, like Pavlov's dog. Like, ooh, I'm tired. I must eat candy.
Yeah.
I need a candy bar.
Or I need a caffeinated beverage, right, type of thing. So, but yeah. But now the next part. The sugar low.
So this one's kind of wishy-washy.
Wishy-washy.
Because it's talking about how there could be a sugar low. Well, technically, if you ingest a lot of sugar in one hit, insulin production will be overstimulated to regulate your blood sugar levels. So some 90 to 120 minutes after you ingested the sugar, the insulin can bring on hypoglycemia, which makes you feel tired. But then they said, not everyone's hypoglycemic. And so it's kind of like they don't really know if it's really just your blood sugar turning low, or it could be that you have anxiety or you have low blood pressure.
Or maybe you're just not healthy.
Yeah. So they're saying there could be a sugar low.
But there's so many different factors that can contribute to it, not necessarily just your sugar is low.
Right. So the author said, it's not that a sugar low is impossible, but these things are never as cut and dried as they are often presented. So it's kind of like, there's really no, what's the word?
Proof?
Proof behind any of this stuff.
Proof behind the sugar low.
And the sugar rush.
No, the sugar rush. There right. There is proof behind that one.
Yes.
There's no proof about the sugar low, though.
Right.
So,
but what's interesting is they said, so why does the sugar rush thesis remain so prevalent? No smoke without fire. So it's kind of like there's people that believe it and just keep pushing it.
Yep.
It's kind of like, should I go there?
I don't know.
That's, I don't know.
It's really iffy. It's kind of like, I don't know, vaccinations?
Vaccinations causing autism. I said it. I'm sorry.
It's not true, people. It's a scientific fact. Science.
It's been debunked. Anyway, but lots of people still believe it.
And tons of people still believe it. And, interesting, I read an article... Or I saw an article, I started reading, wasn't able to finish it, but it was about third world countries basically talking to people in the United States.
Developing countries.
Sorry.
Remember they changed that.
Whatever. talking about how vaccinations are important because,
right.
You know, they live in a country where they need that stuff to...
Okay. Now, I'm not going on a debate about... vaccinations.
Uh-oh.
I am specifically saying that vaccinations have not been proven to cause autism. I'm not going to go there with the you should or shouldn't vaccinate your child. Certainly have a strong opinion about it, but...
We're getting edgy here on the clown car.
Let's offend some more people.
Let's offend people, and that way our Facebook will blow up and we'll have more interaction than ever by saying vaccinations are healthy for your children and society. There, I said it. Anyway, so...
Okay, here's a less one.
Okay.
Another thing that people believe is getting cold will give you a cold.
That is false.
It's like, you know when you send your kids outside and you're like, put a coat on or you're going to catch a cold. It's not from being cold.
No.
That's the other one. And I still say that too. Like, yeah. Don't... You got to stay warm, you'll catch a cold. But it's the germs and the...
Yeah. The germs makes you sick, not the cold. Stuff,
so.
Oh, the other one, like, you know, most of the heat exits from the top of your head.
Oh.
That's false, too.
Or you'll get cramps if you go swimming after you eat.
That's false, too.
This is fun.
Yeah. What else? You know what? Maybe we should do that next episode. We'll find all these things that we learned as a child.
I think we have done that.
That are false. I think we may have.
That's why we know all of them.
Maybe. Maybe that's true. All right. But anyway, so that's it. You know, sugar high, sugar low. Where do you stand?
So we're saying tomorrow is a holiday again. President's Day.
Yes.
So feel free to let your kids indulge in their candy.
That's right. Eat.
And if they're hyper, it's your fault. It's not the candy.
That's right. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard. And we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way, so find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts definitely on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hoo-ha! And also you can email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And most important of all, you can subscribe.
Oh, sorry.
Subscribe! Man, fail.
I was thinking about saying something about offending people.
Review.
And
rate.
We killed it.
Yeah,
it's done dead.
You ruined it.
It's done so, dead.
On iTunes, because the more you review and rate our show on iTunes will help us get found in just regular searches.
When the more politically incorrect we'll be.
That's right, no. But, so you reviewing and rating our show on iTunes helps us be found more. And so we would love that support. If you love The Clown Car, then show the love on iTunes.
Because it's Valentine's Day.
That's right. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.